Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap, a comedy with Helmed on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of one, just 2 hours of me playing, you know, a duo of, more like a, you know, the, I'm dealing with an alter ego issue here. It's not, you know, I don't want to call it an issue because it's not a problem. It's something that I enjoy doing every weekend from 11 to 1, which is playing both comedian and a DJ. Now, the time is 10 minutes past the hour of 11, and I don't know what the weather is wherever I find yourself, but here in the capital we have a clear sky and a scorching sun. I know. I have the air conditioner on, and I just finished one giant milkshake, and I'm still sweating. Now, throwing humor, and well, this, you know, it's about to get even hotter, and the country, especially, now, I don't know what other parts of the country are up to, but here in Windhoek, we are loaded with activities where the National Literary Festival that ended yesterday, of which I've, you know, had the privilege of performing. I would never say, you know, it's awesome. They had the second one. The first one was held in 2023. It's just based on literature where you have to see, you know, people that are more interested in thinking. Turns out they are not a lot. You had poets, musicians, and you had, comedians just sitting there and doing their thing. And, you know, the whole thing was, we had a blast. And, of course, we had the showgrounds going on. A lot of activities. Now, let's start with the literary festival. The national, more like the literary festival was my favorite, event that took place last week because that's the best time to be a Kavango. Literary. It turns out I can just say that the whole day and the whole night. And it turns out there are people that are from other regions who will not mention who was just struggling literally. Like, well, come on, literary. So just say li and be like li, te, la, ri, literary, ritelali. Like, all right. No judging. Why? Like I always like to point out, I've had a white lady ask me where Pukiro is. And for the love of me, could not figure out for at least about a minute what she was asking me. She was saying a Pukiro, but my God, the way she pronounced the Pukiro. It's a good thing I'm a Kavango, because if she pronounced a Pukiro like that to a Herero, I'm pretty sure they could have died on the spot. A Pukiro was like a Puki, what now? How far is from here to a Pukiro? I was like, oh, you mean a Pukiro? Jesus. And this was in 2019. January. I remember that vividly. Because I've never had anyone pronounce a Pukiro that way. A Pukiro? Like, okay. You know what? From now henceforth, I shall not judge or laugh at anyone that mispronounces a single word out of a non-African language. I don't care. If you are pronouncing a Pukiro as a Pukiru, I'm allowed to pronounce literally as literally. Don't judge me, because you can't pronounce a single word out of my language either. No, the name is Joseph. It's Joseph. Not Joseph, it's Joseph. You have to respect the language that this name is coming from. Okay, what's my name? Mahungu, no, Mahongo. Thank you very much. Well, I mean, you started this whole thing. Oh, Mahongo. No. That's the national park. The person is Mahongo. There's a difference. So, for those of you that went to private school and you want to go rah 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 and start laughing at, and the damn thing is, these mostly black people that are laughing at other black people for mispronouncing the language of their colonizer, to tell you how dumb. Now, the whole thing is, that's when I start going, oh, decolonize your mind. Mispronounce each and every single word you want. I don't care. Thank you. What I find amazing is the people that will correct your English have never even been to England. No, that's not how it's pronounced. According to this word is from the root word, this Latin root word, which was, changed from this word to this word in this year from Latin to Anglo-Saxons, Anglophones. Right. What's the capital city of Zambia? I don't know. So, you know everything about England. Oh, yes. I mean, I was in Birmingham last week. So, again, what's the capital city of Zambia? I don't know. Really? And my favorite part is, these are the same idiots that will be running around saying, Pan-African, strong and independent. Look, black power. Black power. You don't even know the capital city of Zambia. What black power? Now, people will swagger, will be waiting for me at the gate. Good thing is, you know, a security guard there, so I can just ramble all the nonsense I want now. So, National Literary Festival was a blast. I had fun. I just missed one event because now I had to pick, should I go to the wine festival? Should I go to the playground? To the showgrounds? Showgrounds, it turns out. And I found one very convincing friend who dragged me to the showgrounds to try out mostly white people activities. I have to admit some of them I enjoyed, some of them I walked out of there telling myself, me, myself, and I are never, under any circumstances, ever trying that ever again. Those places have overpriced stuff. Really overpriced stuff. They ran out of, Namibians, one thing that, you know, that shocked me at the showground last night. The only thing that didn't run out was alcohol. Believe, so don't drink and drive. I think we are getting closer to that. Because, soft drinks ran out really fast. Like, each and every single, you know, stall we went to, the fridge, their fridge, the side of soft drinks, was squeaky clean. The only thing that was there was beer. Now, I love beer, like so bad. But I'm terrible at multitasking, so I only do that when I'm just either seated and not planning on going on some ride that will make me throw it all out. It's either I must be seated and not planning on getting on any ride, or I'm at home. That's when I just, you know, do that. It's just, was a good time. Now, weekend times, like, right now, you have a lot of activities. And this also started yesterday, by the way. I think it's been going on for a while. You have a lot of sports going on. And today, we are going to talk about the world of sports, for the most part. And at this point, you're asking yourself, what does he know about sport? Oh, you're right. Absolutely nothing. But here's one thing, though. I'm here to talk about the regulatory authorities that regulates sport on a global level. Because I have a little bit of cooking to do. It took less than a week for FIFA to ban Russia after invading Ukraine. Less than a week. Russia invades Ukraine, less than a week. You have the Olympics, you have financial institutions, you have financial institutions, legal institutions, international law institutions, all eyes on Russia. That was an excellent way of handling things. When someone sends their army into someone else's country, that's what you do. As the person that enforces international law, you have to enforce it. Oh dear Lord. And then he realized that, thanks to the British, Israel has been bombarding the heck out of Gaza, basically Palestine, for the past 70 plus years. Just to remind you, the United Nations is turning 80 this year. That means for the past 80 years that the UN have been in existence, the West have been breaking down international law left, right, and center. Right in the face of the United Nations. Now, I'm not here to cook the UN. I'm just here to talk about, more like FIFA. No. I'm here to talk about, the concept of law enforcement, because this is one that is more like at the center. Let me just say the foundation of the discussion of law. Law that is not enforced is useless. Now, you don't have to think about it in terms of international law. Just think of it in a miniaturized version. Take, for example, on a family level. As a father or a mother or an uncle, and you're white or black, let's just, I think this is where black people now shine. Whenever you make a rule, you have to make sure that that rule is coming with an enforcement mechanism. Take, for example, at school, if you are told that you can't come to school with a cell phone, I remember that rule clearly because it is, that's my previous school, the high school I went to, introduced that rule second or third year of my high school. They introduced that rule of not having smartphones at school. Of which we went, for those of us that were already broke and poor, and that doesn't apply to me. I don't have a phone anyway. Now, here's the thing. That rule was made, and the instructions were made clear. This is the rule, and this is the punishment for blacking this rule. Breaking, same WhatsApp group. This is the rule, and this is the punishment for blacking this rule. I think I have to move to Angwena. At this point, I'm more than qualified to become a governor. Now, here's the thing. The rule was no cell phones at school unless you're a teacher or a cleaner or basically any of the staff members. But if you are a learner, no cell phones. Now, if you are found with a cell phone, whether at school or a hostel, that phone was confiscated until the day that the school closes. And, until when you come and get your report cards, that's when you're getting that phone back. I understand that, now the punishment has been, the punishment had been upped a bit to the point of paying some kind of fine on top of you having to wait until the end of the year or semester to come and collect your cell phone. At home. We were all kids. You couldn't just leave the house anytime you want, especially at night. You were told, this time you must be at home by your parents. If you are not at home this time, you're going to have to find somewhere else to sleep because I'm going to lock that door and I'm never opening it until the next day. So, the balancing of rules and the enforcement. Now, you have the enforcers of these rules. The people that make the rules are parents. The people that enforce the rules are parents. Here's where rules now become very tricky to sort of look at it in terms of black and white. The rules of you are not allowed to stay out until, above the hour of 8 does not apply to parents. Does that qualify as unfair? You can call it unfair. You can say, dad, you made these rules that everyone must be within the house, within the boundaries of this house, before 8, or they gonna sleep outside. So now let's say, dad is working late. So does he have because there's a rule at home, there's a rule at work requiring him to finish a project he's working on, even if he has to finish it at 10. And then there's a rule that he made, by the way, at home, that's telling him that he must be at home by 8 or he's going to sleep outside. Now, at this point, you have to understand dad have to weigh the options. Do I respect my own rules so that I'm not a disappointment to my kids? I want to lead by example. I should just break the company rule and go home early because I want to lead by example? Or do I just break my own rules at home because I have a project to finish here because, that's what's feeding the family at home? At this point, it's not rocket science. Every parent is, or more like every adult will reach the very same conclusion. Work late. And then when you get home, you're going to sit kids down and tell them, you know what? I know, I said that, well, everyone must be at home. But here's the thing. I'm an adult. That's what, now that you keep hearing a lot. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want. This is my house. I can do whatever I want. You are just kids. You are just here to follow my instruction. If you don't follow them, there's a punishment for you. But I can break my own rules and there's no punishment for me. Now, when you look at the rules from that basic concept of a family, you realize that even when you look at at the application and enforcement of rules and laws on a larger scale, be it a national or global level, you're going to find that the same things, or more like the same conundrum, lawmakers run into. I mean, that explains why we have a lot of immunities, this parliamentary immunity, diplomatic immunity, because they know that those guys are just making rules for the city, for the citizens, not themselves. Presidential immunity, diplomatic immunity, parliamentary immunity. I'm telling you, if someone who is, take for example, a member of parliament and Helmut are caught in traffic, for drinking and driving, let's say, on our way was that, on Friday. On my way home, we came across what you'd call police roadblock, where they had a type of machine I've never seen before, until someone explained to me that actually that's a breathalyzer. I was like, hang on a second, that thing? Like, yeah. Like, oh, really? Yeah, you breathe in that thing. And then, the levels are, there's a certain level where you are, that indicates that, you shouldn't be driving, you're drunk, and you could be, face the consequence, whatever of the law. I was like, oh, okay. That's nice. Now, at this point, you are looking at, why are we talking about this? It's simple. It's because if you ask me, this is just my own conclusion. The US and the UK, the US and the UK, the US and Europe have put in place this mechanism of shipping all the immigrants to different parts of the world. Specifically, Djibouti? I'm not sure if it's Djibouti is part of that list, but I know Uganda is on that list. Yeah, Uganda is on, and Rwanda is on that list, and there's one country that I'm missing. But the one that had been more like all over the media when it comes to accepting immigrants, aka people that are in predominantly white countries, but they're not white. So they ship them somewhere else where there is, where it's not Europe and the US. Here's the thing now. Take for example, if you were Mexican in the US today and you had a business that you have been running for the past 20 years and you are now, you have this ICE guys crack down on you and you're basically going to have to close down that business and you're shipped off to your country. Why does that sound familiar? Oh, look! That's what Zimbabwe did, and to this day, we're still ostracizing them. Why? Just why? It's simple. Before you start making rules, do you have an army to enforce it? If the answer is yes, what are the possible consequences that are going to come with that rule? And how are you going to counter it, or more like cushion yourself from it? This is where the Russians now become very, geniuses, because 2014 Crimea, was that, 2008 Georgia, 2014 Crimea, and then, the Western countries, because they run a lot of infrastructure, especially the financial ones and sports ones and international law. I'm telling you, when you talk about international law, take for example, the United Nations headquarters in New York, and the UN headquarters is in New York. ISIS headquarters is in The Hague, is in the Netherlands. So also so you have these Western countries. You have all the financial institutions, World Bank, Bretton Woods institutions. They are all based in the West. That means those institutions literally make the economy go round. So, your country's economy will find it very hard to operate, if at all, if you are cut away from those institutions. which are predominantly owned and run by Western individuals. So that means if you are going to go against the Western way of doing things, you can't rely on international law. Nah, don't waste your time on that. Why? It's because the application of international law is very, some rules for thee and, thank heavens that example came to my head, you know, as fast as it did. Animal Farm is a masterpiece by George Orwell. Animal Farm is a masterpiece that describes politics in a nutshell. All persons are equal under the law is a lot of crap. It's one thing I like about being a comedian. All laws are equal. All men are equal under the law. Yeah. Like George Carlin pointed it out that you guys are missing the point here. This country, and of course he's talking about the United States, this country is a country that was founded by a group of white men that kept saying, all men are created equal. They had slaves and women couldn't vote. And you know what? They believed it. Why? All men are created equal. Why? Women couldn't vote, couldn't work. But hey, they believed it. All men are created equal. By that they meant only white, and even if you're white, being a woman is not enough. You have to be a man. Yeah. That's the only way you, and also you depends on a different type of whiteness. If you're white and from Italy, you are not white enough. Iceland or Ireland? One of those two, and Italians, those ones I know for sure. That group of whiteness, they were only incorporated into the white category later on. Now here's the beautiful part of it. What led to the founding of the United States? Easy. Now, you see, at some point in the medieval or medieval period of Europe, if you want to call it that, this is why a lot of people that think that, racial divisions are a thing. No, racial divisions, it's a distraction. Racial divisions, sexual orientation, religion, it's a distraction. And the beautiful part about being a comedian is that you have a mind that asks more questions than it has answers. Therefore, you are able to pick up all this crap. Now, here's the thing. Right now you have people being deported from Europe because, well, they are immigrants. Let me walk you through the history of Australia. The history of Australia was a group of rich white people deporting poor white people because they were unfit for the society. Now, just why were they unfit for the society? Economic inequality. Because a bunch of rich people kept stealing all the resources and hoarding it all for themselves, that the people on the lower end of the economic spectrum were struggling to make ends meet. And you know what? Desperation breeds immorality. A lot of people went into prostitution. A lot of people went into stealing, bank robbery, thieving, murder, you name it. They did that. So they started now cracking down on the people that were on the lower end of the economic spectrum, and they started shipping them off to places like Australia. That's how the history of, that's how white people ended up in Australia in the beginning. So every time that I look at, I hear people arguing that, Europeans are just being racist. Why are they only shipping people of, people of color from Europe and leaving white people behind? This has nothing to do with black versus white. This has to do with scapegoating. Why? Because the history of Britain indicates that at some point, they were a bunch of white people that were shipping other white people that were declared unfit for the, je ne sais quoi society. They decided to ship them off to other parts of the country. Some of them founded themselves in Southern Africa, by the way. A lot of them, by the way, Australia was, the history of Australia, especially when it comes to how white people ended up there, was why a prison colony. So, You don't have to punch your white friends in the face. Especially if they're, you know, well, especially if he's broke. Like, well, what did he do? He didn't do anything. Now, the US, on the other hand, was also founded in the very interesting way. Unless you were a Catholic, unless you were a white man and Catholic, life was not very easy for you in, in Europe. It was not. So if you're white and a woman and you were part of the aristocrat, now you had it better. But if you were just white and at the farm, oh dear Lord, and make worse, making it worse, you were a Protestant. That's a Protestant means you did not believe in the whole idea that the Pope is a God, is a representative of God here on earth. King Henry VIII went like, Pope, I want a divorce. No, God doesn't, does not allow that. Hey, King Afonso V of Portugal asked for your permission to go and colonize Guinea. You gave him a permission to go and kill people, but God forbid, a man comes asking for a divorce. He's the bad guy. That for me is the irony of, laws. 1400s, King Alfonso V asked the papacy, can I go and colonize people that are black? The pope was like, absolutely, you can go ahead and do that. Well, I spoke to the big guy upstairs and he told me you are good to go. 1500s, King Henry VIII goes to the pope and go like, I'm not happy with my wife. I mean, she was nice when I met her, but now she's just a pain in my royal behind. Now, can I just divorce her? The Pope was like, yeah, I spoke to the big guy upstairs. He said, no, you can't divorce. Now, at this point, if I was King Henry VIII, I would have gone, first of all, the Spanish are busy causing chaos in South America. Rape, murder, torture, you name it. They are doing all of it. With your permission, by the way. And the guys now, the Portuguese are doing the exact same thing in Northern Africa. So, and you're telling me murder, torture, rape and all that, that's okay, but divorce is the one that's a no-go, according to the big guy upstairs. You see what's the problem here? The biggest problem with religion is not religion, it's men. Men decided to interpret religion to fit his interest. And then the people that are not, the people that now turn around and look at the religion and go like, yeah, no, count me out. Nope, no. Because if you worship a God that is okay with murder and rape, but he has a problem with divorce. At this point, even a kindergarten kid will go, ha, interesting, nice. Okay, I'm not going to hell alone on this one. That's, if there is one. Dear Christians, take your Bibles now, shall we? Take your Bibles. Now, I want you to go to the book of Ezekiel. Don't use the King James, because I tried. The English is just too, it's very 17th century. Just take one with very simple English. I'll give you a second. Okay. I'll give you 5 seconds. Ian, Tuye, Dri, Fir, Faith. Another 5 seconds? Okay, go. Ian, Tuye, Dri, Fir, Faith. Now, moving on. You want the Old Testament for this one. Let's go to hell, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to go to the book of Ezekiel. Get there? What you are looking for is Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 20. Don't ask your kid to read it for you. Thank me later. Don't. Please, thank you for the sake of their sanity. Now, There's a lot of comparison going on there, especially for my gender. Still one of my favorite, you know, one of my favorite verse in the good book. Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 20. Turns out that whole thing of size doesn't matter. Oh, oh boy, it has been mattering since the biblical times. Only found that out last week. Leave me alone. Don't ask me what I was looking for. I'm just like any Christian. I was just reading the good book, say, you know, to try and fight my way into, like they say, the good grace of our Lord and Savior. Now, Ezekiel 23 verse 20. Everyone, on your mark, set, ready, go. Be traumatized. Now, before I come back to the partial application of laws, I'm just going to flavor. Guys, I have one heck of a playlist. Now I'm trying to, you know, to decide which one to pick, which one to start with.
Angel of my life, for the love I have is so real. How can I be your Mr. Right? Baby, what I feel is so strong. If I, you are the apple of my eyes. If I, I'm gonna love you till I die. About that day, it will be just you and I. Will you be my wife?
I'll be your
wife. And you're my wife.
There's something missing, you know. Rhythm is missing. Rhythm. It's still too early for me to be listening. I will end with this type of music. I'm gonna start with something, you know, with a little bit of faster tempo, like this one. Now we're talking. Right, so welcome back. It's this is Mind the Gap with yours truly, Helmut, here on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of one. And we continue with the dilemma that comes with rules or laws. And I already laid the foundation that on the very simple base that when it comes to looking at these things, don't look at it from a large scale that it's mostly discussed, especially in a very significant part of any type of media, really. But look at it from a small miniaturized example that you can find. So instead of looking at the whole thing of the whole thing, especially one that is all over the media right now, it's at least the part of the media that I'm that I have a lot of my attention on, is the fact that for a couple of days now, or more like for a while now, a lot of people have been calling for, have been calling for FIFA to ban Israeli teams from participating in a lot of, sports divisions. Except, when was that? On the 2nd of October, FIFA themselves decided to put up, decided to come and make it clear that FIFA cannot solve geopolitical issues, according to Infantino. FIFA president, Gianni Infantino says the world football governing body cannot solve geopolitical problems as pressure mounts on the sports authorities to sanction Israel. The United Nations Commission on Inquiries concluded last month that Israel has committed genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. That's according to the BBC. And Israel's participation in football was not included as a formal item on the agenda of a FIFA Council meeting held on a Thursday. This is from the 2nd. So this is all this these things we're talking about is this is a Thursday. This meeting took place on Thursday. Now that's on the 2nd. So this is basically last week or this week, depending on the type of calendar that you're using. Now, however, Infantino touched on the subject in the opening remarks for the session of FIFA's headquarters in Zurich. The 55-year-old Italian, that explains the Infantino part, and the Gianni, said, our thoughts are with those that are suffering in the many conflicts that exist around the world today. And mostly important message that the FIFA can convey right now is one of peace and unity. FIFA cannot solve geopolitical problems, but it can and must promote football around the world by harnessing its unifying educational, cultural, and humanitarian values, says the president of FIFA. I'm going to repeat that part because it's going to come in very important, very handy, more like, that's the center of, basically the center of, of this whole point of the application of rules. But I'm going to come with a bunch of examples, really, coming out of the political world. But this one is coming out of the sports world. This is not the first time these things are happening, guys. Come on. Which is why I used the example of Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is known for its very, what you'd call as a draconian, that's also one word that I think it's thrown around a lot these days. It even lost its value. Laws that was used in, now for the Zimbabweans to basically, in their land distribution efforts. To this day, Zimbabwe is still being ostracized. But Europe and the US can just end people's years of effort, throw them on a plane and then ship them off to a country where they don't have to deal with them anymore. Well, what Zimbabwe did is not very different from that. But for some reason, when Zimbabwe does it, it's bad, terrible. But when the US or Europe is doing it, well, there's a perfect explanation for it. The point I'm trying to make here is that, people that make rules don't like following them. In the 1950s, one of the U.S. presidential candidate at the time, Adlai Stevenson pointed out that it's much easier, it's far easier to fight for principles than live up to them. So, that's why I started with a home example. Making rules is very easy. Following the rules is a whole different ballgame. Because, the very same gentleman that is pointing out here, this is the president of FIFA. This is basically FIFA speaking. According to, the law of vicarious liability. It's a, Okay. In this chair, I'm not representing Helmut Mahong. I'm representing Eagle FM. That means everything I screw up here is going to come for Eagle FM. Eagle FM will have to deal with me. That's also something we adopted. We didn't come up with it. Yeah, embarrassing enough. Now, FIFA cannot solve geopolitical problems, but it can and must promote football around the world by harnessing its unifying educational, cultural, and humanitarian values. You see, that's a powerful step. A powerful. That was on the 2nd of October, 2025, by the way. Let's find out what was the point of view back in 2022. FIFA/UEFA suspends Russian club and national teams from all competitions. Now, the beautiful part is the article I read about the Israel's point of view on what's going on between Hamas and Israel. That was on the BBC article. Now, the one on Russian, on them banning Russia, I decided to read that directly from FIFA's own website, which is my favorite part of today's show. I'm loving this. All animals are equal, but some animals are better than others. This is where it begins to apply. Now, George Orwell, the irony is George Orwell wrote Animal Farm more to sort of like indirectly criticize the Soviet regime. Now, he had to find a very creative way of criticizing a government that did not take criticism very lightly. So he had to be very creative about it, which if you have read Animal Farm, you know that the man was a genius. Now, I think any activist must read Animal Farm. That's how you do activism if you don't have a lawyer. And more often in the history of activism, activists are more often broke. Now, if you are broke, you have to figure out a way to criticize someone who is rich and powerful. Animal Farm was it's a genius example. FIFA, what's your take on this whole call coming from the whole world that you must ban Israel from participating in sport? Well, as FIFA, here is my response on this one. First of all, FIFA is a sports governing body. We don't solve geopolitical issues. What we do is we use sports. We promote sports worldwide and then use it to harness its unifying and educational, cultural, and humanitarian values. In geopolitics, we don't participate in that. Let's rewind back to 2022 now, shall we? 2022, here we are. FIFA/UEFA suspends Russian clubs and national teams from all competitors. Now, what does it say? Following the initial decision adopted by FIFA Council and UEFA Executive Committee, which envisaged the adoption of additional measures, FIFA and UEFA have today decided. Now, this is from 2022, so take that one with a little bit of a time machine, at the back of your head. Now, FIFA and UEFA today decided together that all Russian teams, whether national representative teams or club teams, shall be suspended from participation in both FIFA and UEFA competitions until further notice. This decision was adopted today by the Bureau of the FIFA Council and the Executive Committee on UEFA, respectively, highest decision-making bodies on both institutions and on such urgent matter. You have got to be kidding me. Now, just why? Maybe this is not politically maybe this is not a geopolitical thing. Maybe that's why they participated. Oh no, they went. Well, the good thing is they clarified why they made that decision. Football is fully united here and in full solidarity with all the people affected in Ukraine. Oh, okay. Both presidents hope the situation in Ukraine will improve significantly. It haven't. And rapidly saw that the football can again be a victor for unity, peace among its people. So,
What I'm seeing here is now. By the way, by putting up that article, that article last week or this week, these guys just gave Russia free PR, because in every, every channel or every article I'm reading about this, the comparison people are making the world over is, why was it very fast? Why was this governing body that does not interfere, or more like interfere in political issues? They interfered in political issues in 2022, but now we are back to, we can't interfere in political issues now. That was sports. On the other side, we are going to go to the politics and then finance. Same thing. Commercial break.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh?
Elohim. Yeah. Yahweh. Satan and Sagano. As a righteous warrior, evil will always be a rival. Yo, Zebi. Could I survive the road when I walk on? Close friend try poison me dog gun. Revamp could have been some of my last songs. Them I say to themselves, I'm last long. Take a trip in the hills like us and
bring my problems to Jah man.
I them when sword them I go fall upon.
Consequences of your action.
Story of my life. Oh mama, I was only trying to make it right.
I know Jah won't fail me, no matter the time.
Jah bless. I know Jah won't fail me, no matter the time. I'm telling you, the only thing was left here is we didn't, and I'll be speaking Jamaican. Okay, now city police. That's a joke. You're like, you guys know that, right? You know, last time you came here looking for me, you freaked me out already. I don't have the muscle capacity to survive prison. Plus, I already made a very peaceful deal with myself that I want to die, a Casanova on one side and a virgin on the other. If you understood that, you and I, heaven, you ones.
People be something ridiculous. Put my faith in a job and giving it up. Putting my mother down, see me living it up. Know my life would have changed, but got the beginning rough. Don't need God, don't see giving up. If my dogs didn't ever true to me, your priest, my God. But you what time and positivity, not visit enough. Spiritually, me, you worry some invisible stuff. Yeah, them things are crazy, but my no one know. Cause who you think a friend can make the same as before? Should I call a friend, because when you grow, the moon will come around to bring you below. Should I know in a year?
Story of my life. Oh mama, I was only trying to make it right. Still they trying to break me. I know Jah won't fail me, no matter the time. Jah, yeah.
Should I never expect good from the evil? Surround myself with the wrong people. Yeah, don't make you for no reason. All my do I bring forth my fruits in my due season. Could I rise them at 90 and get them 87, watch them blood run like diesel. Them time them a mind feeble. Me trust left it to Jah and see them a get a beating. Yeah.
Story of my life. Oh mama, I was on a journey to make it right. Still they trying to break me. I know Jah won't fail me. No matter the times.
Shots forever. Legend.
Welcome back to that from that wonderful short break. To quickly understand to some how about this? If there's a book out there I have to recommend for one to understand the unequal application of basically any law, but even though the book is mostly focused on financial and political institution to some degree the world over. There are two books I can recommend. One is the title is Vulture Capitalism. Corny-ish way of describing venture capitalism, because those guys are not very famous these days. Venture capitalism. No, the ones that are being criticized a lot in the world of economics, those are, how do they call these guys? Private equity. But in the world of to understand more like how the world really works, not this whole nonsense of an enemy to none and a friend to all. No, that's not how the world works. In theory, that's how it works. In practical reality, that's not how it works. Now, unequal protection. Let me just find out who the unequal. Yeah, unequal protection is a book by unequal protection is a book by a gentleman named Tom Hartman, and you have vulture capitalism. This one was written by a British lady, but I also totally forgot her name. Vulture capitalism was written by Grace Blakely. These two books, forget the UN Charter. What does the World Bank say? What is the IMF? Now, forget all that crap. Just forget all that crap. Now, you have to understand that this is more like on a technical regulation level. But if you really want to understand how they operate in terms of how the laws are applied, if you are still thinking, well, they are applied democratically, no, they're not. No, they're applied equally. No, they're not. And by the way, the UN Charter does not mention democracy. Not one that I found. What it does is we the people, it really emphasizes the involvement of people in leadership selections. That's why we do this whole thing called voting, which is local elections are coming up. So fasten a seatbelt. Here's the thing. In 2015, 2015 during the AU summit. Don't quote me on that date. During the AU summit, I think, yeah, that took place, AU summit on African level, high level discussion. African high level discussion that took place in South Africa. Yeah. When the then president of Sudan, Omar al-Bashir, was wanted by the International Criminal Court. He came to South Africa, and the international community went bananas over South Africa. They were like, oh, no, you have the legal obligation to arrest him and all that. And then he basically attended the event and then flew out of the country, and everyone went nuts over, you are not following international law. Now, at this point, you cannot really blame. I think that was that 2015 or 2018? Somewhere there. You cannot really blame Jacob Zuma for that. Why? It's simple. Laws are equal, I think that's a very sad and harsh reality. They are not followed to the letter, especially by the countries with a lot of power to basically break them without any consequences. Let me give you an example. One of my favorite ICJ case. And now that's the International Court of Justice. This is, the legislative body of the United Nations, not to be confused with the International Criminal Court. The International Criminal Court is somewhat, although it was founded, mostly by the coordinations coming from, coordinations and more like both financial and legal coming out of the UN, the ICC is more, is more stand-alone organization away from the United Nations, especially in comparison to the International Court of Justice. Now, the International Court of Justice is a direct branch of the UN, which is, it's a legislative body. Now, in 1986, if you look up the case of Nicaragua versus the United States, a case concerning military and paramilitary activities against Nicaragua, was a case where the International Court of Justice held that the U.S. had violated international law by supporting the Contras. That was a terrorist organization in their rebellion against the Sandinistas. Again, another organization, with a bunch of trigger happy guys by mining Nicaraguan harbors. Of course, there is going to be natural resources. Any conflict is going to have some natural resources just right next to it. Which is why I don't blame NJ Ayuk when he just, went to Sudan and worked for the UN in 2015, and then came out of that, as a qualified lawyer. He came out of that and he just decided to write a book titled "There Are Billions at Play." He basically looked at the whole thing and realized you can't solve this conflict. Why? Because the people want to extract the natural resources will never allow you to. They will either pay a legitimate army to come and help them extract the resources, or they will pay a rebel group to come and destabilize the whole region, so their corporations can be protected by the very same terrorist organizations, quote unquote terrorist organizations, so they can have their resources for free. So there's a lot of money and interest at play. That's why international peace is an international lie. Never getting a job at the UN, am I? Now, assuming that these guys have a sense of humor, the case was decided in favor of Nicaragua. So what happened was, the government of Nicaragua decided that, these resources at our ports, we want to use it for our people. Now, it turns out, if you have a lot of multinational companies mining that resources, and you come into office as a leader and kick those multinational companies aside because they are notorious for not paying taxes or following any laws, they will use their very high profits they have gotten from your resources, and then they will use that money to pay a bunch of rebels to come and bomb your country, and then start calling you the rebel. And then they start calling those guys the heroes. They are fighting for freedom of their people. No, they're not. They are so not fighting for the power. Quick question. This is just a terrorist organization that popped up from the blue. How are they able to afford guns? Have you ever asked yourself that? Now, I've never been a terrorist, but I've come to learn that getting shot is an occupational hazard. When you look at it that way, you can't help but ask yourself one question. When these guys get shot, where do they get their treatment? Who is supplying them with medicine? Until you go to Nicaragua versus the United States, then you find out that the U.S. government was found guilty. Then U.S. government was found guilty by the highest court of the U.N. for backing up a terrorist organization in a sovereign country so they can have access to resources. Why does that sound? Pretty much every conflict on this planet is basically like that. DRC, that's a no-brainer. Sudan. Just look up Gum Arabic. Newsflash, Coca-Cola and Pepsi are going to start popping up left, right, and center. But you have to understand that, this is, This is my favorite part, my most favorite part and my least favorite part about international law. I mean, like, basically about geopolitics. Now, the court had 15 final decisions upon which, which voted. The court found in a verdict that the United States was in breach of its obligations under customary international law not to use force against the other side, not to intervene in affairs, not to violate its sovereignty, not to interrupt peace, maritime commerce in a breach of its obligations under Article 14 or 20. Oh my God, this Roman numeral number, Roman numerals of the Treaty of Friendship, Commerce and Navigation between parties signed in Managua in 21st March of January 1956. That's a lot of crap. By the way, the U.S. was asked to pay some type of reparations to the victims in that case. They never pay that. They just, they're like, okay, fine. Yeah, well, no, okay, fine. Well, fine. We're guilty. Every single terrorist organization on this planet is backed by a legitimate government. Let me give you an example. All the military organizations now turned political parties that fought for our respective independence on the African continent. And this is very true for every part of the, for every part of the world and every country that was colonized. The liberation movements that fought for the liberation and independence of these respective countries are most of them today political parties. Now, what were they labeled when they were fighting for independence? Terrorist organizations. We're talking Nelson Mandela, founding father, all of them. They were terrorists. I think they were terrorists up until 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Still terrorists. What did they do to deserve that label? All they wanted was, this is my land, you did not knock before coming into my house, therefore I want you out. That's their only mistake. All they had to do was say, yes, master, come in, I'll be your slave. That would have been nice. Now, here's one painful thing about, the stupidity associated to mankind. Human beings, the reason why I'm saying international peace is an international lie is because all throughout history, revolutions are the only language that the rich and powerful understand. The Industrial Revolution, Russian Revolution, French Revolution. What do all these revolutions have in common? A very small group of people were hoarding all the resources that the poor people on the ground were told to follow the rules that were written to protect the resources that were stolen by a handful of people, and then turned around and say, well, I stole from you, but you can steal from me, because, well, that would be legal. That's corruption in a nutshell. You have a bunch of guys that are stealing from everyone, and then saying, well, I stole from you, but you can't steal from me, but so because, well, that's illegal. Now, on a larger scale, that's the British Museum. That, the British went across the world and stole everyone's pieces of art and then put it in a museum and told everyone they stole it from that. Well, they can't steal it back because, well, then that would be illegal. You gotta love international law. No, that's not international. That's just the British Constitution and a little bit of act somewhere there. Here's the thing. You can't steal back what I stole from you because that would be illegal. Oh yeah, when it comes to Namibia and South Africa, that basically sums up the land discussion. Well, I know I stole from you, but you can't steal it back because, well, back then it was not illegal. Now it's illegal. Based on what? Well, on the laws that I wrote and then gave you. You know. Well, these things make perfect sense. I don't know. I really need to play music because this is going south. The excitement is going way, way out of hand. But anyway, preach, brother. Preach. Now, when it comes to, financial institutions, exactly the same. about 80-90% of financial institutions and financial infrastructure that's used globally are Western-based. So if they want to weaponize to punish you, they will push international law aside and do exactly that. And this is geopolitical institution, more like politics energy as related institutions like the International Atomic Energy Agency. We saw that. And we can still see that with Iran, by the way. Iran must open up its nuclear facilities for investigation by the International Atomic Energy Agency. We want to find out if they are enriching uranium. We know Israel have enriched uranium and they have nuclear weapons, but we are not going to talk about them. Let's just, the focus, it's Iran. Iran is the problem here. Okay. Now, picture this. First of all, if you are waiting for the world to be equal, oh boy. First of all, you have to understand that these rules are made by men. This is why, my favorite rules are those that are made by God or evolution or Big Bang. Take your pick. I don't care. Because I just don't have time for that. The reason behind here is very simple. Let me give you an example. When it comes to natural laws, natural laws are the only laws that applies equally to everyone. Take gravity, for example. If Helmut, with all my brokenness, and the Pope, and Bill Gates, climbed a tree, we all ended up, standing on the same branch that was rotten under and it broke. You think gravity will go, this is the Pope. This one must hit the ground more smoothly because, he's the Pope. Now, this one has money, this one. This one must also hit, softly. This one is broke. This one must just break his neck. No! One thing I like about gravity is if Helmut the Pope and Bill Gates stood on a branch of a tree high up, on an elevated platform, and that branch broke, we are all kissing the ground at 100 kilometers an hour. Yep, that's one thing I like about international law. Another example of natural law's equal application of punishment is the Titanic. You know those, the submersible that went about 13 kilometers under the sea and then it exploded? The immense underwater pressure at that depth did not say, no, don't squeeze them hard. Those ones are rich. Oh no. The moment that thing exploded, Mother Nature just turned every billionaire into a smoothie. That's natural law. You gotta love natural law. Now let's go to the 1912 Titanic. You think you have to understand there was a compartmentalization of classes in this, depending, on how the whole thing was built. Was built with basically inequality in mind. Where you had, a section for rich people, for poor people, and a section for somewhat rich, they are not that rich, but they can afford polony. And then you had the people now, in the language of Elizabeth, the creme de la creme when it comes to being wealthy. When that ship sank, when it got into the hole that was punched by the ice block, that water did not say, don't go in that section because that section is full of rich people. Go in that section because that's where all the poor people are. Oh no, that water was just gushing left, right, and center everywhere and killed a bunch of rich people along the line. And then the laws, the rules made by men now came to play. On these lifeboats, ships first. Women and children first. And then rich people. And then you start thinking about Helm. Then there was one man who was an English chef. He survived. You know what he did? When the ship was sinking, homeboy went to the kitchen and started drinking the hottest stuff he could find. At this point, you're asking yourself, why the heck is he drinking that? Because alcohol is a natural antifreeze. Bro understood his stuff. By first of all, it also made him more calm because, well, in a life and death situation, it sounds counterintuitive, but panicking kills you faster. Now, if you know you're gonna panic, Nami Breweries comes in handy on that one. You're welcome. I would not recommend, you know, depending on the situation you are going through, I would not recommend beer. If you, what you are going through is just, you know, a girl not giving you her number, go with beer. But if you are going through a breakup, for example, you know, I would go with, I'll go with Johnny Walker and all of, you know, all that stuff. But if you are going through, if you are going through a divorce, for example, now Johnny Walker is not going to cast it, you know, he's not going to cut it. Now, for that one, I recommend something special, you know, something local, something dear to my heart. Ombike, you're welcome. Now, here's the thing. Now, because now I have just a DJ time and just a commentary somewhere in between. Rules will never be applied equally. Forget about that. I know. Even our constitution says all men are equal before the law. Right. Uh-huh. Of course they are. May I not start, a rumble? They are, in theory. All men are equal under the law, in theory. Let me just give you a very easy example. If a helmet and take, for example, a certain, you know, and the Speaker of the National Assembly were driving, let's say just say that it's one of those days where she decided she was going to drive herself because, well, she just wanna, well, she's a human being. I'm pretty sure she enjoys driving. Yeah, so we're just driving and we are approaching a roadblock. She has had a few shots. I'm not sure if she drinks. It's an example, people, relax. And then I've had my beers or two. And when we get to a, when we get to a checkpoint, we're all tested positive for alcohol. Is going to end up in a holding cell faster? Me or the Speaker of the National Assembly? As we know, even the police officer will be like, that's the Speaker of the National Assembly. Well, be careful with that one. You lose your job. And they'll be right. And the other guy, that's a comedian. Just lock him up. You know, you show him the full extent of the law. Now, well, these things take place on a family level. These things take place on a regional level, national level. You don't think it's going to take place on an international level? You must be naive beyond measure. So, 2022, FIFA participated in political disputes. FIFA and UEFA, back in 2022, they participated in political disputes. This year, they are making it categorically clear that they do not participate in political disputes. They just use sports to educate and unite people and humanity. What? Now, at this point, you're asking, what is the difference? Easy. Never bite the finger that Never finger the bite that, never, the bite, that finger, the, just don't do it. Financial institutions that FIFA uses to move its money. Who controls it? Russia or the US? The US. The countries that FIFA has or most of its infrastructure, who controls them? Both politically and financially. The infrastructure, both financially and technological, that FIFA uses, who controls it? Not Russia. The West does. So, FIFA knows, if they, you know, if they ban Israel, they're gonna make the US angry. And by doing that, they'll be biting the finger that, what's that word again? They'll be fingering the bite that, okay, you get the point. So, in short, this world we live in can never be equal. Make peace with that. And you live happily ever after. You're welcome. That was DJ Vuyo, or that was DJ Vuyo coming from the Zambezi region. We'll go back again and play one more song. We'll just play one more song from the Zambezi region. Then we will change. We will change it in a minute. For those of you that do not enjoy this type of music, just bear with me. And I will be with you in a... I'm married to one. Give me a break. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Splash, and now that was that's Splash, right? Yeah, that's a Splash Lufuno, which means I have no idea what it means. But we continue. Iendach, Excel, is it Verkoop? May own car. Is it Coop or man? Dwight is never here when I need him.
Papa, I come on shit, Napo Pingelo, Hilapo Pingelo, come on shit, Mango, Yamate Pingelo, Kufoka Pingelo, come on shit, you know, second Angelo man, that's the look on your Pangelo, come on shit, Tamamame, 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 Tamamame,
kuli mwena ama ikala nden tuwalan Masha ishingi ikala ishingi tuwalan
Yakti wakonga UGU audio Yo Natungo
kuli mwena ama Masha ishingi Kuli mwena ama ikala nden tuwalan I sing, I call, I sing, I do a lot. That's in the old Kulimena, my calendar, do a lot. Oh, as I sing, I call, I sing, I do a lot. I'm missing, I do a lot. Stacks in the cup of time, do a lot. Wanna spend that old guy, do a lot. Fresh, ready to play, do a lot.
This song is dedicated to me and my fellow Toos Yota drivers. Not Toyota, Toos Yota. Golf 2.
This song is for us.
Hang in there. Hang in there. You know. Fikurimwe. We'll land our own tour and we'll be vruparingi. Not we'll be vruparing. No. We'll be vruparingi. Quickly, quickly.
I swear that I'm gonna be fresher than most of these guys in my face when I flex on it. I'll be rocking the latest of fashion and sipping a whole lot of money in cash on me. Kuli mwena ama ikala nden tuwalan. UGU audio. Shai singi ikala isingi ituwalan. Ndatingo uri kuli mwena ama ikala nden tuwalan. Oh, na shai singi ikala isingi ituwalan. Missing a dualal, stacks in the double day dualal, wanna spec that old way dualal, fresh, ready to play dualal. Missing a dualal, stacks in the double day dualal, wanna spec that old way dualal, fresh, ready to play dualal. Di karanda kufura kore ibera Kapunjo kate kandiri munda po chostera And when I ride by I see them fatula mini kunduko I tell them bye bye I'm on to the next kapeno kumanda kupimbo Shinaro ndiro Nakufango dino Narishingwa na fimbo Andivari po fimbo I swear that I'm gonna be fresher than most of these guys in my face when I flex on it. I'll be rocking the latest of fashion and dipping a whole lot of money in cash on me. Kuli mwena ama ikala nden tuwalan. Nasha isingi ikala isingi ituwalan. Ndati nguri kuli mwena ama ikala nden tuwalan. Nasha isingi ikala isingi ituwalan. Ambisinga ituwalan. Stacks in the gafuta ituwalan. Wanna spec that old guy ituwalan. Fresh, ready to play ituwalan. Missing a dualal, stacks in the double day dualal, money stack out all day dualal, fresh, ready to play dualal, yeah, ready to play. Ishina rondiro, nakufango dino, tarishingwa na fimbo, antifari po fingo.
Welcome back. A little bit of me rumbling. So, to wrap this whole thing up, I must give me 10 minutes to play two or three of my favorite songs. But to, you know, to wrap this whole thing up, like everything that you find in, every subject that you find in school, basically, or more like in life, it has a philosophical conundrum. behind it. Now, the application of rules and laws is just it's no exception, which is why I started with a home example. You're not allowed to come in my house, this late again. And then he shows up, you know, at home at 3, totally drunk. You're not allowed to drink in my house, but he can drink. You're not allowed to bring any girls in my house, say someone that has a wife. Now, when you're looking at this from a technical point of view, you can see that the unequal application of rules begins where? At home. Turns out now we know that it's not only charity that begins at home. It can be seen on a home level. It can be seen on a, community level, regional level, national level, global level, obviously. So, I know everyone is pointing fingers at FIFA for being spineless. I'm not saying they are not spineless. Oh, they are spineless in that one. But they're just weighing the consequences. There are no consequences that comes with banning Russia or China. There are not a lot of consequences. But why? Because Russia, China, those are not doesn't have the fingers that feeds FIFA or UEFA. But, well, Israel is the finger that, Israel is the finger that's attached to the hand, which is the US, which now that feeds UEFA and FIFA. So, biting that hand would be a terrible idea. Now, at this point, don't get me wrong, even if I was the president of FIFA, I would be like, hey, what can we do in this situation? Well, like we said back in 2022, we don't get involved into politics, therefore we will not ban Israel. Oh no, but you, back in 2022, you banned Russia. Well, what did... These things are different, so Russia doesn't fund us in any way. In other words, Russia doesn't, bottom line, guys, is, if you want an institution to respect you, there are two things that you must do that I have learned from the US and Israel. Either bribe them or blackmail them, one or the two. It works all the time. It's just that with democracy, a lot of democracy, one thing that's emphasized more often is voting in a referendum, the rule of law and all that crap. It turns out if you want real power, you must be looking for, you want to catch this VIP guy in a compromising position, like at the urinary, for example. Take a compromising picture and then you start telling them, if you do this, this is going to be on Facebook. When you do that, they are going to do anything you want. Man, I should be a political advisor. At this point, I'm killing it. Now, and then if they don't follow your instruction, you can throw them from, 22nd floor balcony of a hotel. Not using any particular example in mind. Being a comedian me. Now, enforcement and the concept of law, according to Yale University, one of your Ivy League guys, is that an enduring question of both international law and jurisprudence, is a philosophy of law basically, is whether international law should count as law, whether it is, in John Austin's phrase, law properly so called, given the ways in which it is and not enforced. Coming up with a law that doesn't not have any enforcement mechanisms in place is the most useless thing you can do. You can write that law spot on. You have all the full stop and all the commas in the right place. Every sentence starts with a capital letter and you have all the grammar of the language that you are writing that law in. If you don't have any means of enforcing that law, you're wasting pages. Leave those trees to grow. You're just wasting... You're just causing deforestation for nothing here. That's basically international law in a nutshell. International law relies on the people that are causing chaos to fund the institutions that are supposed to enforce the law. Really? Like, just how dumb can you be? You want a mining company. You want a mining company that is pillaging resources in DRC to donate money to you so that you can use that money to stop illegal mining in DRC. Are you nuts? Because what they're going to tell you is, you idiot, the reason why I have enough money to donate to you is because of the illegal mining in that country. If you cut off all the illegal mining, I won't have money to donate to you. Therefore, you're basically talking about putting me out of business. So, I'm never donating money to you again. In a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, that's how the world works. This whole thing of, well, the rule of law, this is now, the damn thing is everywhere I turn on this discussion, now, which is against the UN Charter. I'm like, you think Israel doesn't know that? You think M23 don't know that killing people is wrong? They know! They just have weighed their options, and they, you can call it a twisted sense of decision making, and went with the one where they have to put, where to shoot people. The headquarter of the United Nations is in New York. You know, sustainable development goals, strong institutions, high quality education, you know, silencing of the guns, you know, peace and security. The headquarter is in a country that makes more guns than it does peaceful things. And you want to end war. Yeah, get out of here. The best way to live life. I really wish there was a better way of saying this. Mind your business. Now, what is enforcement? Outcasting is an article about what should count as legal enforcement. And its core is the claim that we should take a broad view of the concept. One would expect, that's still Yale, one would expect an article of that sort to include a philosophical, you know, a philosophical account of legal enforcement, the explanation of what enforcement is and why jurisprudentially it matters. But the article does not go that route. It argues rather that whatever one's conception of enforcement, it would be unreasonable to exclude outcasting from it, because historically outcasting has been the chief mechanism of enforcement in system of normative regulation that indubitably qualify as law. You know how a law enforcement officer, we have police officers. Now you have parliamentarians that make the law. And then you have the police and the soldiers and all those to enforce the law. You have a means, every law that is made in parliament has a means of enforcing it. Except the one that talks about declaring your assets when you get in parliament and also, you know, submitting your procurement plans on time with the Ministry of Finance, for the, you know, just in time for the next financial year. Those ones are, the enforceability of those ones are just now, well, we can explain type of enforcement, because, well, they're very good at screwing those ones over, and then going, well, we'll do better next year. And then that year comes, well, we'll do better again. But anyway, any law that doesn't have any form of enforcement mechanism is not worth a piece of paper it's written on, like literally and figuratively. And also, it doesn't matter what laws that you are going to write. At the end of the day, people are always going to weigh what options are the best. Which people are always going to bite the finger that doesn't feed them. And then they will think twice before biting the finger that feeds them. So, before you start saying, yeah, FIFA this, FIFA that, well, they clearly did not want to bite the finger that feed them. And at this point, the only thing I'm happy about is that At least it's now clear to me that the West is the finger that feeds them. The East is the finger that does not feed them. Therefore, they can just, they can easily bite the fingers coming out of the East because, well, they don't feed them. But the fingers coming out of the West, no, you're going to have to be very careful of how you put that finger in your mouth, let alone biting. So, bravo, FIFA. Thank you very much for that clear explanation. Now, I've eaten in my DJ time. Man, seriously? Well, it said you can play music, but they didn't specify which music. They just decided to go with mine. Ask me anything.
Oh, don't be afraid. I'm not like your ex-boyfriend.
Please be afraid. If your boyfriend was more loaded than me because I'm broke, do not ask me anything.
I wanna tell you like it is. You are my baby, and this feeling is so real. And with this ring, I'm gonna make you an angel. You don't have to pressure my heart. I love you, baby. Can't you see in my eyes? I love you. You don't have to pressure my heart.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Yep, that is true. I think that's the most powerful statement out of the French language. With la vie. Well, this is life. Well, such is life. Take your interpretation out of it. Now, let's wrap that up with India. No, that's not Kulieni. That's something else. I don't even know what language is that. I'm very good at memorizing words, you know, songs out of...
See it?
Swadhi Phuke.
That's the song that reminds me of lockdown, because I will listen to that song so much. I had to memorize the whole thing, not understanding a word, because, well, it was lockdown. I had to do something. Yeah, I know. It was lockdown, plus my whole life is already lockdown. So I love it that way, not complaining. And that brings us to the end of Mind the Gap for today. Until next week, yours truly here, a Paxed Bus here, and then says goodbye.
Oh, teri aadat hai, tu dikhe na to, inhi shikayat hai, aankhon ko, teri aadat hai. शिकायत है बिन छुए छुरिए है तूने मुझको दिए प्यार के ये तारा नहीं जाने यहाँ ये जो अब हो रहा है कुछ अजब हो रहा है क्या यही प्यार का है ऐसा तो आसमानों को और दो जहानों को छोड़ के आई तेरे पास
जाने क्या होने लगा मुझको नहीं है खबर क्यों नींद से दूर ये जाने लगी है नजर
छोड़ो ये सारी बातें अब मिली है जो रातें इन्हें जाने न देना जाने यार
ये जो अब हो रहा है कुछ अजब हो रहा है क्या यही प्यार का है ऐसा
Turns out I can be an excellent scammer calling out of East Asia. Until Sunday next week, Omoeli coming up.